Thank you, Sir Brian. Thank you to the organizers of this wonderful event. It's a pleasure to be in such a historical space. I spent yesterday taking pictures and sending them back to my family in California. So as the dean of the School of Information, I spend a lot of time thinking about this floods of data and information that we are all inundated with. And the mission of that school is to help us think about how to organize and these floods of information and data, which come now not only in the forms of text, but also in the forms of sensor data, video, music, you know, many more forms of data, and the quantities can only be modeled and computed on, you know, multiple parallel systems. Often the data has to be stored in the cloud. So there are a whole new set of infrastructural challenges that are associated with the analysis of information and the modeling and therefore sense making with information. It's also, I believe it will not only consume the scientists, the biologists, the astronomers, the physicists, the cognitive scientists who are dealing with these floods of data, but also I think this will bring in social scientists in a way that they haven't been as involved in science in the past. So if you're dealing with systems like water systems, it also includes human behavior, and the models that we develop will also need to include human behavior. So one of the things that the School of Information explicitly does is try to bring together computer scientists and social scientists along with legal experts and managers, since those are also important parts of information management. Sir Brian had suggested I speak about information, so I want to link this to some comments I had also wanted to make about the mobility of talent. The other major driver that I'd like to speak about is the transformation, I think, in the global mobility of talent that we've seen over the past decade or so. In the 1960s, 1970s, when most of us were growing up, the main concern was the brain drain, the loss of talent, of scientific, leading-edge scientific and technological talent from the third to the first world. And for sure, those of us that work in American universities saw this, that we were able to enroll the best and the brightest from Africa, Asia, Latin America into our universities. Most of them, the overwhelming majority of those Indian, Chinese, Hungarian immigrants, chose to stay in the U.S. or in Europe, if you like, as well. And essentially, this brain drain was associated with the exacerbation of the divide between the core and the periphery. The rich got richer. Essentially, all knowledge and new technology would be developed in the advanced economies or the core, and the periphery was destined to be a follower as we continued to sap technical talent. I would suggest, and I think there's plenty of evidence in this meeting today, that old dynamic has now been completely overturned, and that rather than a brain drain, we're starting to see, it's not fully activated, a circulation, what I call the brain circulation, tremendous mobility of people. People who formerly came and stayed in the U.S. are now going back to their home countries, becoming scientists or technologists in China or India. We've seen examples, people going back and starting businesses in their home countries, maintaining links, perhaps, to advanced economies in Europe or the US, but also facilitating what I call entrepreneurship in the periphery. Entrepreneurs are springing up around the world and linking to the advanced core. I met last night, I had the pleasure of meeting several entrepreneurs from Hungary. So 20 years ago, we would never have thought that we would see leading edge engineering and scientific talent becoming entrepreneurs in Hungary. And yet we have now, I met some individuals who are designing GPS systems that are going into automobiles around the world. A company that has developed a new presentation software. LogMeIn is a company that went public, which is Hungarian. So this is a real turning of the tables from our past. So let's just look at some recent, this is as recent as is available, data from the National Science Foundation. What it looks like is that, the data shows that the share of foreign scientists and engineers earning doctorates in the U.S. has more than doubled since 1978. It's gone from 11% to 32%. So that looks like an exacerbation of the brain drain. But the question is, are we seeing brain drain, or will that be the trend of the future, or will circulation prevail? Silicon Valley, the global, I spent a lot of my career studying the Silicon Valley economy, one of the leading places that translates scientific and technical knowledge into commercial applications. In the course of the past four decades, you've seen the global workforce in Silicon Valley grow from 15% to 53%. That's a staggering number. Over half of the scientists and engineers in Silicon Valley are now foreign-born, obviously including huge, large numbers of Asians and Indians, but also European scientists and engineers. So again, this looks like the brain drain, but in fact, I'm going to just suggest as one major driver that we are now seeing the rise of entrepreneurship in the periphery. I mentioned the Hungarian examples, but if you trace in detail the development of Taiwan, this is the Hsinchu region in Taiwan where semiconductor manufacturing, the leading foundries in semiconductor production are located. Hsinchu has the leaders in manufacturing most of the electronic systems and devices that we use today, from the iPads on. Of course, Shanghai, right below it, most of the manufacturing has moved to Shanghai, and yet this has forced Taiwan to move up the value chain. They're now very specialized in R&D and logistics. And of course, this is linked back to Silicon Valley through the flow of people. So a lot of the initial technology was developed in Silicon Valley, manufactured in Hsinchu and Taiwan, and then the manufacturing has shifted to Shanghai. But in addition, in Shanghai, you find new startups with chip design and other capabilities. So you're seeing a global division of labor emerging. Bangalore, India is on the upper right-hand side. Obviously, the software industry sparked the development of Bangalore, but we heard yesterday from Vijay Chandru, who's a computational bioscientist. Obviously, leading-edge technology is now, it's possible to see that emerge in India as well. And of course, Israel, many of us know, has been a pioneer in some of the leading technologies, commercializing some of the leading technologies in security and telecommunications over the past decade. So I want to leave you with those two drivers, the glut of information and the need to organize, categorize, make sense of it, and the globalization of entrepreneurship and the leveling of the circulation of skilled manpower around the world. My hypothesis, my prediction is that many of the solutions to these information problems, the big data problems, will come from places outside of the United States. They will come from these engineers from Hungary, from Poland, from China, from any other parts of Brazil, and that we will see a very new world in the next decade composed of information solutions and entrepreneurs around the world. Thank you.